Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. This is number two, in who and what do you worship? Now, we ended up last time by covering the account of Adam and Eve and what happened to them when they disobeyed God, and they believed the voice of the serpent, Satan, the devil. And what happened to them? Well, they were cast out of the Garden of Eden, and their access was cut off from the tree of life, meaning that the way of salvation was not going to be open to them until there was a Messiah who would come. That's what we find in verse 15, to take away the sin. Now, that occurred 4,000 years later. But in the meantime, cut off from God, look what happened to the world. Well, it became so wicked that God had to destroy it with a flood. And we're confronted today with the prophecy that Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. So we see all this lawlessness and all this evil, and now actual open Satan worship. That is quite a thing when you really come to understand it. But maybe you will say, well, I don't worship him. Well, who do you worship? Well, I go to church every Sunday. I'm a good, faithful evangelical or a good, faithful Catholic. What does that mean? Does that mean you're really worshiping the true God? Or is there some kind of intermixture of Satan's way into those systems that you're not actually worshiping God? Have you ever thought about that? All right. Now let's review again what it is that Satan wants to do. He doesn't want to pluck off all of what you might say the average person on the street. He wants to go to the top. He wants to get in on the very top to corrupt it, because if you corrupt the top, everything else is corrupted, going down to the man and woman on the street. That's exactly what we see today. Now, the great battle between Satan the devil and Jesus Christ, let's come to Matthew, the fourth chapter, and let's see that Jesus Christ had to be tempted by Satan the devil, had to win that confrontation so that there could be salvation for mankind, because God is going to complete his plan in spite of Satan the devil and in spite of the things that men have done. Now, how that is going to work out is another story. But before we get into this in Matthew, the fourth chapter, concerning the confrontation between Satan the devil and Jesus Christ, who was the Lord God of the Old Testament, I want you to go to the series that we have right here on Church at Home, Who is Jesus Christ? That's important to understand, but you need to realize that the one who became Jesus Christ was the one who created Adam and Eve. And so now, here we have a confrontation again, at the very top, because since the wages of sin is death, if Satan could get Jesus Christ to sin once, Satan thought he could win, because he still wants to rule the universe. He still wants to destroy everything that he can concerning the way of God, the word of God, the truth of God, but he hasn't been able to do it. But look at where he started with Christianity, because Christianity is to be all of the teachings of Jesus Christ as contained in the Gospels, all of the New Testament, all of the Old Testament, and there is a unity of Scripture that you need to understand. And so this thread of where Satan is trying to deceive and take away always begins at the top. So now, Satan had what he thought the perfect opportunity. God came in the flesh. And now, since he had control of the whole world, which he does, and we will see that in just a bit, if he could get Jesus to sin once, everything would be his. So let's read it. Verse 1, Matthew 4. When Jesus was led up into the wilderness by the Spirit in order to be tempted by the devil, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was famished. Now this is very important. He met him not as God, not as an angel, but as a man. And he came with this temptation in the greatest, weakest ability of the human body, fasting 40 days and 40 nights. Let's look at it this way. Could God have overcome Satan the devil as God? Whew, no problem. If God became an angel, could he do it? Yes. But if he became a man, could he really resist and overcome Satan the devil? And because he was creator of Adam and Eve and all mankind, therefore, this was the most important temptation of all. Right at the top. So let's see how Satan did this. Verse 3. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if, always a qualifier, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Now, could God do that? Yes. Could Jesus Christ do that? Yes. Did he not feed the 4,000 and the 5,000? Yes, he did. Was Jesus famished, weak, hungry? And Satan probably had some other words to add into it, something like this. Now just think how good that would be if it came out like fresh, hot bread right out of the oven. Now I know you can do it. Think about how good that would smell. Think about how good that would taste. And you really, really need it, don't you? Look at you. You're nothing but skin and bone. Now, I want to help you. Now, I want to give you a benefit. Why don't you? You have the power. Turn these stones into bread. Now, you can take that form of temptation and plug that into almost any major temptation that comes along in your life. And you will see that a benefit was always offered, but the benefit that Satan gives is not a blessing as God would give, because the blessings of God lead to life, and the benefits of Satan the devil lead to death. So again, what would you do when presented with something like this? And it meant that you had to go contrary to the laws and commandments of God. Notice how Jesus answered. Now, he answered this way because he was the Son of Man. So when he says man, he's talking not only about all human beings, but himself as creator of all human beings. and also as the one who divested himself of his power and glory to become a human being, to overcome sin and death, and to overcome Satan the devil. And so before he even began his preaching and his ministry, he had to overcome Satan the devil. So notice what he said. But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." What did he do? He said, "I will live by the word of God." And he did, didn't he? Now think about this. If he had done like Adam and Eve and thought, "Well, now maybe God didn't tell me everything. Well, maybe the serpent is right. And look at the benefit we're going to get." No, Jesus did not do that. He resisted all of that. And he had to, in order to be Savior for all mankind. Then the devil wasn't done with him. The temptation here was personal. Will you save your own neck the way you want to do it, in contradiction to what God has said? All right? The next one becomes really a very powerful one. Okay? Power. Control. So let's read it. "Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the edge of the temple and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, cast yourself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning you, and they shall bear you up in their hands, lest you strike your foot against a stone.'" Dare God. How many people do that today? They're called dare devils. Could the angels of God have done that? But again, if he would have done that, he would have obeyed Satan instead of God. Meaning, he would have gone contrary to the word of God and his very purpose as coming as Savior. So these are really high stakes when you really understand it. And everything in the plan of God was hinging right on this. How would the Creator who made Adam and Eve be able to endure the temptation of Satan the devil, which no other human being has been able to endure? Now let's go to the next one, and this becomes the most important. And as we read this, I will ask you again, who and what do you worship? Do you worship God or Satan? And we will see there are many forms of worshiping Satan other than open Satan worship and praise and glory to Satan, as we saw in the last segment. Verse 8, "After that the devil took him to an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory." Power of the world. Now Satan also knew that when Christ comes back the second time, because of the prophecies that are in the Old Testament, he is going to rule the world. Now we will see that Satan the devil is also called God, Theos, of this world. And we've already seen that the whole world worships Satan. Now, not all openly yet, but we will see that this world is owned and controlled by Satan the devil. Let's go to verse 9. "And said to him, 'All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me.'" That is what Satan wants. Directly, by hook or crook, by deception, by lying, anyway. Now stop and think of this at this point, and why I asked the question, who or what do you worship? If he would have worshiped Satan, he would have denied God the Father. And God the Father is the one that he worshiped. So when Satan comes along, he's trying to strike right at the very top and get Jesus to worship him. And if Jesus did, he could inherit everything that Satan has. Well, God gave up more than that to become a man, because he created the heavens and the earth. So I want you to think about the magnitude of this temptation. Let's see how Jesus answered. Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve.'" I want you to think about that. Think about how it is in your life. Now, we'll look at some of the key things about worshiping God that are important to understand, so we can answer the question by looking at the fact that Satan, the devil, always tried to get in on the top. Now, let's see some of his tactics against the Apostle Peter. Now, let's come to Matthew, the 16th chapter. And this gives us a powerful lesson. Needless to say, Jesus overcame whatever time it took for him to recuperate and regain his strength, that he did. And then after that is when he began his ministry. Now, if you want our book, A Harmony of the Gospel, The Life of Jesus Christ in Modern English, write for it. It's a tremendous book. It goes through all the Gospels, coordinates all the events that took place, and it will show you all of these things in great detail. So you write for that. A Harmony of the Gospels, will send it to you at no cost. Now, this was also a test for Peter. Now, I'm bringing this out because this points out something very important. Now, Peter was going to be one of the three leading apostles, Peter, James, and John. And so here was a little test by Jesus of Peter, to see what he understood after being with Jesus all this time and seeing the different things that he did and taught and preached. In verse 13, Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do men declare me the Son of Man to be?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." But he said to them, "But you, who do you declare me to be?" Now, notice this very carefully here. Then Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Look at Jesus' answer. And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah," that means son of Jonah, "for flesh and blood did not reveal it to you, but my Father who is in heaven." All right? Revelation from God the Father to Peter. Very interesting. Can God give us understanding through his Spirit, just like he did to Peter in this instant? Yes, indeed. Now, this becomes important, because, as we will see, after Jesus explained that he was going to build his church on himself, not on Peter, not on a man, on Christ. Now, we have a complete series. Was Peter ever in Rome? And what you will uncover is one of the greatest lies and satanic fictions and deceptions that is over this whole world. Quite a series. You go through the whole thing. But Christ would build his church on himself. Verse 18. Now I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock. Now Peter is Petros, a small stone. This rock, and we find that this rock is Christ, Matthew the 7th chapter, and the rock that followed them was Christ, 1 Corinthians the 10th chapter. Upon this rock, meaning himself, I will build my church, and the gates of the grave shall not prevail against it. It will always be in existence, though sometimes very few. And today, a lot of it is in homes, just like it began in the first century AD, in the homes. Verse 19, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, that is to understand the truth of God, and whatever you may bind on the earth will have already been bound in heaven, and whatever you may loose on the earth will already have been loosed in heaven. So in other words, everything that they did had to be according to the word of God that was already expressed to mankind, but was already concluded in heaven before it was given in the word of God. Now then, with that, let's see that Satan again wanted to get in at the top. Think of it. This is really something when you come to understand it. Let's come here to verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem and to suffer many things from the elders, chief priests, and scribes, and to be killed and to be raised the third day. The very purpose of what Jesus came to do was to be the sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. The most important thing in bringing reconciliation of mankind to God through Christ, through his death. Now, Peter didn't have a clue, but Peter was well-intentioned. Notice what he did, verse 22. But after taking him aside, Peter personally began to rebuke him, saying, God will be favorable to you, Lord. In no way shall this happen to you. Now, was it the will of God that Christ die? Yes, it was the very purpose that he came. Was Peter well-intended? Yes. Was he trying to do good? Yes. Question, how many times has the cover of good been used to hide evil and do evil? A lot of it. Peter didn't have an evil intention, but it would have turned out evil if he could have stopped it. Notice Jesus' answer. And he turned to Peter and said, now, modern psychologists would have us say, Peter, now I understand that you have a good heart. And I understand that you really, really meant well. And I know that I'm going to put a lot of faith in you. So I just want you to understand what's going on here, okay? No, notice what he did. Get you behind me, Satan! Now, why did he say that? Because this benefit of this good thought came from Satan the devil, not God. Here, God the Father revealed to Peter that Christ was Jesus. He was the Christ. And then Satan comes along right after that and wants to derail that by in trying to get Peter to agree with Satan. Get you behind me, Satan, For you are an offense to me, because your thoughts are not in accord with the things of God, but the things of men. Now, I want you to think about this verse. Ask yourself the question, are your thoughts in accord with the things of God, with the Word of God, with the truth of God, or the things of men? And the things of men then turn out to be the things of Satan, the devil. If you don't know anything about the political process in America, look at the true history of America and see how we have rejected the true God, even though we didn't have full knowledge of God when the country was founded, and how we have virtually no knowledge of God. And look at the benefits that Satan has brought. Freedom, security.
Did you keep your boring job through the recession and miss the fun of getting your free stuff from the government? Cash in with Monopoly, Entitlements Edition, a family game about gaming the system.
I get the old man on Social Security. I call the single mom.
Okay, I'll be the minority.
Enjoy the easy life of the elderly and less fortunate.
Your adopted grandchild qualified for free lunch. Collect 90 cents a day.
Cha-ching!
I slipped on your boardwalk. I'm suing.
Now you're rich, and you get to roll around for the rest of your life.
Lucky.
But watch your step.
Aw, man.
Ha ha!
Go directly to work. Do not PESCO. Do not collect unemployment.
Just visiting, Poppy. Make that cheddar.
With Entitlement Monopoly, the whole family can play. The victim. Absolutely not from Hasbro.
All of this. Now comes out all of the evil, because instead of worshiping God where we began, we are now worshiping Satan the devil, which will bring our end. So once again, who and what do you worship? And has Satan interfered in what you believe, regardless of what you think the source really is? Now, I want you to write for our books again. Just email us. Get the book, Lord, What Shall I Do? And the Harmony of the Gospels. Now, we send these things out free because there are brethren and supporters who give tithes and offerings to make it happen. And so we can send it to you. And this is so you can learn the knowledge of God, so you can come out from underneath the power of Satan the devil in your life by doing so in your own home. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. Be sure and use our other website, cbcg.org, where we have hundreds and hundreds of sermons. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.